Welcome to the ISF podcast from the Information Security Forum, featuring timely conversations, practical insights, and resources for global cybersecurity professionals. I'm your host, Tavia Gilbert. Today, ISF CEO Steve Durbin speaks with Mark Gibson, owner and CEO of D3 Technologies, a company that specializes in helping small businesses blend their people, processes, and technology. Mark and Steve discuss the unique security challenges small businesses face, how to build a culture of security in a small business environment, and career possibilities for security professionals within small businesses.
So, Mark, thank you very much indeed for joining me on the podcast. Most of the podcasts, I suppose it's fair to say, tend to focus on large corporates or government, but the very sort of big end of the market. You know, we try to deal with issues that impact multinationals. But I think it's all too easy to forget, isn't it, that, you know, very many supply chains are made up of small businesses. And small businesses do, in very many countries, make up a significant proportion of the GDP in those countries. So it's nice to be able to have a conversation here today about small business. So thank you very much for joining me for that. Now, your organization, D3, based in Charlotte, North Carolina, is focused on specifically helping small business owners bridge that gap between IT and business. And that's something that we talk a lot about. But what does that actually look like in practical terms? Tell us a bit about that. What's your take on it?
Sure. First, thanks as well for having me today to talk about this. This is a topic that's very important for a small business, the community itself. And there's, you know, maybe the awareness that is necessary to really start to protect our businesses from threats in the cyberspace are really just starting to mature. And a lot of that starts with mindset. But for us, as we engage with our clients, it's really about perspective. And so that's both from the perspective of us trying to educate our clients about what the threats might be there, but also us learning about their business. We are in a place where, you know, threats are very abstract. They're usually something that a small business owner might learn about in a headline or a news article and not necessarily be able to connect that directly to themselves or to their businesses to understand what those risks might pose and how they visualize that. And so for us, what we try to do is learn how can we connect those particular concepts like a ransomware to a more specific risk that they can visualize. How does that impact their business if that were to happen? What are their goals? How do they use technology in their business? And where are those threats going to intersect potentially with their functionality? And so once we understand that, it's much easier for us to have a conversation around decision-making and potential changes that might need to be made in the organization or about how do they protect themselves. And a good example of that is take something simple like a hosted storage solution like a Dropbox. You know, for us as a provider, we've got to understand not just that they have Dropbox as a provider, but we've got to also understand what type of information is stored there. How's it accessed? By who? From where? Does that information move inside and outside the organization? But those are all about how the business functions and how it uses those assets. So that's key for us to be able to understand that. And as we understand those details about how the business operates, we have to have a process, and every business has to have a process for how do they engage this function that is not about putting out the day-to-day fires of IT. And so many times for small business in particular, as you're talking about an organization that typically has limited resources, it's very much focused on how do we solve today's problem versus how do we maintain the organization and protect it from these external threats. And so that's how we try to engage with our clients, to first educate them about risk, educate ourselves about how we're going to help them protect, and then from there, take that and turn it into day-to-day decisions.
And that's a pretty good roadmap, really, isn't it, for most organizations? You know, I like that sort of staged approach that you just mentioned there. I mean, my own experience of working with small businesses, I have to say, has probably tended to be much more in the entrepreneurial space, where the founder tends to be the owner. You know, they have a view as to what they're trying to do in terms of driving for some kind of exit. And in my experience, security hasn't really hit the radar as far as those guys are concerned, because it's very difficult, isn't it, to talk about security in relation to, you know, business growth, impact on shareholders, that overall strategic plan that perhaps an entrepreneur might have. How do you overcome that particular issue?
So you're right. That happens quite frequently in small business because it does start with an entrepreneurial mindset and usually the strengths of the organization or the strengths of the individual. And so if that individual is somebody that is very focused on their product or service that they're offering, or even trying to grow the business, they don't have the bandwidth really to bridge out and see a broader view of it. And so that's honestly one of the bigger challenges, I think, that we see in the small business space is that, you know, IT is viewed more of just sort of a tool. How do I get from here to there, as opposed to really as a business function?
Right.
They look at marketing or finance in that way and see it as, you know, sort of advisors, but it's getting past that conversation and providing them perspective about how, one, IT can help facilitate their goals, but also how the security aspect of it can help protect and limit the risk that they, you know, may see. They're just inherent in the market, not anything that they're doing themselves. It just, it comes from living in an internet age these days that you're subject to that simply by being so connected. And so if we can get the small business owner to bridge out a little bit and see those things, then it opens up the channels of communication to really be able to understand those risks better and to get a cultural buy-in. And once you have that cultural buy-in, you can start to, you know, plan a little better. You can start to make investments a little better and really be able to affect change so that you're not talking about cybersecurity just as a disconnected concept that will come up whenever they have a problem, but more something that's baked into how they view their business and how they operate it.
Good advice there. And return on investment, that is something that everybody talks about. It doesn't matter about the size of the organization. It's also something that security traditionally has struggled to demonstrate. How do you deal with that particular issue from a small business standpoint? Because, you know, every dollar, every pound, every euro really counts in a small business environment, doesn't it? Because very often it is the small business owners' own money.
Absolutely. And it is a challenging conversation. And I won't say that I have a silver bullet for it. It is, it's about a larger conversation that it continues to talk about the idea that when you talk about return on investment, you're typically talking about how do I generate more profits or how do I accelerate growth of the business? IT in particular is a tool for that. If you can marry your operations with your technology and be able to generate additional efficiencies or be able to generate more capacity, you know, do more with less. Everybody likes to talk about that. So hand in hand with that goes, can I secure that tool? And without being able to do that, you expose yourself to risk. So some of it is about the conversation of how do we facilitate more growth, but also at the same time, understanding that there's another side of the coin, which is how do we protect the growth and the additional efficiencies that we've gained? And so there's still that element from a security perspective that it's always going to be a little bit of not directly tied to that ROI, but it's preventing the loss that comes with it. And as you know, we've seen over the last several years, cyber attacks in particular can be very costly to organizations and really set you back, not just in terms of dollars, but also in terms of time and productivity.
So we've talked a lot on these podcasts about cybercrime, about the growth in, you know, that particular challenge for organizations of every size, ransomware in particular being a particular thorn in most people's sides at the moment. In order to combat that, of course, we have to understand it, we have to deal with it, we have to prioritize it. How do you see, generally speaking, small businesses prioritizing cybersecurity in their lines of business? What, if anything, are they missing?
Generally speaking, I would say that for small businesses, I think when they talk about ransomware, they look at, or any type of cybersecurity issue, they look at it as a technical issue.
Right.
It really should be a business issue. It should be something that they're looking at as, you know, at the same level that they're looking at, how do we solve for any other type of risk? And if you're having that conversation at more of the business level and at a strategic level, that makes it much easier to get the right investments or get the right decisions made to have people within your organization focus on that as an issue. It's largely looked at as something that we have a guy for that, or we're not doing anything about it, you know, whichever the case may be. And so it's hopefully that you can turn the ship a little bit and just in terms of how it's viewed within the organization. If you can look at it as something that, hey, we all have a role in protecting our assets and protecting our resources. We're the, you know, the ones that engage with the data and our customers' information day in and day out. There's going to be a little bit more ownership with that. And that's largely what I think is missing for small businesses, just the fact that they are actually a target and they can be susceptible to those attacks.
Right. And quite often, of course, if they are operating within the supply chain of a very large organization, they may not themselves be the direct target. mean, the large organization they're working with may be the ultimate goal for the cyber criminal, and they could just be the route into that. Certainly when I talk about that, I talk a lot about the role of the large organization in terms of working collaboratively across the supply chain with smaller businesses. But some of the pushback that I get sometimes is that they don't know who to talk to, because to your point, they don't necessarily have somebody in a small business that has been nominated there. So let me sort of flip it around a little bit here. What advice would you have for large businesses that are working with smaller organizations through their supply chains in terms of how they can help the smaller business secure that broader supply chain to everybody's benefit?
I think that, you know, if you were to survey a group of small business owners about what their biggest challenge is for this, it's almost always going to come down to budget. And I think that that's also because for those small businesses that their customer profile is a larger organization, in many of those cases, large organizations are pushing on their supply chain providers to get the best price, which makes sense in business, but it's also about providing the best value. And in a lot of cases, particularly when the level of threat that's evolved over time, the value is going to be the ability to protect the function of the data of how they interact and engage. So I would ask or suggest to larger businesses that have smaller partners that they be aware of that when they are evaluating proposals, and that they also look at those organizations to say, do they have a culture of that? This is not something that you just flip a switch and suddenly you're able to provide a secure product. You've got to be able to build that over time. And so that takes an investment from the owner of the small business, but it also takes an investment from their clients and their partners to make sure that they can charge enough to be able to put those tools and practices in place. And I'd also say, to your point about small businesses, they often do not have somebody on staff that has the expertise or even the bandwidth to be able to address this particular issue. They're going to almost always need to, you know, find a resource that they can work with, engage a partner who can help them identify their risks and help them develop and implement solutions with that as well.
Let's look at the people side of things now for a moment, because one of the trends in the industry, you know, we've seen it for a while, it's not going to get any better, is skill shortage. And if you are starting out in the security space, there's probably something of an attraction in working for a small business where you can get your arms around the whole thing. But to the points that you've been making, there may not be the focus there. So 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to try and work for a larger enterprise that gives you a much broader scope where you can learn. But is that actually the case? I mean, talk to me a little bit about, you know, the attractions of security professionals in working in a smaller environment, because your own company is one of those, right? I mean, you're a small business yourself.
So it depends on really what your career goals are. If you are someone who is interested in just touching the technology and being the technician, we'll say it's somebody who's working on it, there are going to be roles within small businesses where you can do that, but probably not just that. If you want to go to an enterprise, you might be able to be just an engineer or just a SOC analyst, someone who is working on just issues and then passing them along for analysis of business impact and things like that. If you are someone who, like myself, who kind of grew up a little bit in both the technical side and the business side, you don't necessarily want to be tied into just that narrow scope of looking at the issue or seeing an alert and evaluating it. You want to be able to have conversations with business owners and decision makers. And so within the small business arena, it's definitely not just the case with IT or information security. You can't specialize as much. You've got to be able to broaden your skill set. You've got to be able to engage with not technical folks all of the time in a way that helps them understand what the issues are. So if you're going to want to be in small business, you've got to be able to have a little bit more variety to both your communication skills and your technical skills. If it's something that you want to zero in on a specialty, that's when you're going to gear more towards enterprise.
And I think certainly in my experience, that variety, that overall scope that you do get of working in a smaller organization where you do, to your point, have to understand the linkages very much more between business and technology and be able to express those and really join in. Those, for some, are very, very attractive propositions, you know, much, much more so than working in a large scale environment. If you're listening to this particular podcast, for instance, and you have some ideas that maybe security is a space that you want to get into, what sort of advice would you give Mark, to listeners who are sitting there saying to themselves, well, you know, maybe it's time for a career change. Maybe this security stuff is something that could catch on. you know, maybe there's opportunity in there. What sort of advice would you have for people who might be considering it as a future career?
You've got to start with education, learning the environment, the skill set itself. That's not necessarily, doesn't mean you have to go to a four-year university to get a degree or even a trade school or whatnot. There are a number of organizations that have begun to try to address this skill shortage by offering boot camps, or not necessarily, you know, boot camps has a different connotation, I think, in terms of IT certifications and so forth, and want to stay away from that, but more groups that are looking to educate, because we understand as an industry that we don't have enough people and enough skills to address even the needs today. Certainly over the next 5 years, we don't have that. Find a place where you can get some education, some knowledge about the subject material itself, but it can be an easier place to enter the market because of that need. And because if you exhibit the right personal characteristics, you are able to get into a job that where you can learn on the go and on the fly and be able to study under someone who's much more experienced in that regard.
And soft skills are really something that we're short of in this space, aren't they? I mean, I think about some of the really effective security guys that I know of, and they didn't start in security. They started in, right, you know, in the arts, or they started in a whole variety of different ways. Talk to a little bit about that, about the soft skill component, because it is core, isn't it, to trying to get some of these messages across?
Absolutely. So the lens that shapes pretty much how I look at all this is, you know, the breakdown for every industry: people, process, and technology.
Right.
However, I look at it in that order, even for this, you know, as IT or information security, the focus is largely on the technology or on the technical side of it. And that's almost never the way to look at it. It all starts with the people aspect of that, which is this concept that you're talking about in terms of, one, I've got to convince you, or not necessarily convince you, but I've got to educate you that there is a need. And then once I'm able to do that, we've got to talk more about what those specific things look like and how to help you make decisions based on, because at the end of the day, whether you're a CISO or a CIO in an enterprise, or even myself, you know, consultant in a small business, I'm not here to make the decision for you. I'm here to help you make the right decision and help you make the decision that's correct for your business. And so when I look at it that way, to your point, the soft skills, they play into all of that. It doesn't matter how much I know on the technical side, if I can't help somebody else understand that and be able to communicate it.
Let's shift focus a little bit now. I'm going to put you on the spot a bit. from your standpoint, what are some of the things that are really sort of catching your eye at the moment in terms of things that we need to be watching out for from a cyber standpoint, say over the next, I don't know, 9, 12, 18 months?
I think your question is probably a little external facing in terms of identifying threats. And honestly, that's not where I usually start. I think the biggest challenge is that no matter what those threats are over the next 9 to 18 months, the impact and the need is really focusing on the internals of what we're doing. So right now, as a general assessment, I'd say we're so exposed, it really doesn't matter what the threat is. We're going to fall victim to it in many, many cases. As we continue to get better at that, whether through process or through technology, the bad guys are going to come up with new ways, right, to be able to work around those adjustments that we make. And so that's why I say the technology isn't really the focus. It's more about the process. How do you identify those as they are emerging and as they come up? Having said that, really what I've tried to focus our people on is the idea that it is much more about this fact that we're distributed now. The evolution has happened over, well, it's not necessarily almost complete, but the majority of it has happened in terms of we're no longer the castle and moat that we can kind of look at, you know, where everything is on premise. And so it is about how do you ensure that the right people are the ones that are accessing your data. By and large, successful attacks come from not being able to penetrate the defenses, but more about leveraging existing credentials, right? They've been able to socially engineer. And so I think that trend is still going to continue and really is where it should be addressed, to help users understand how to identify those threats and how to be safe with their access, and then be able to build up the defenses around them.
And that social engineering point is very, very important, isn't it? You know, we are seeing an increase in phishing, again, back into the small business environment, you know, whaling within that particular context. What advice do you offer your clients to our perhaps, you know, small business owners around how to protect themselves. Because all too often, of course, they're running their business in the cloud. They're probably doing it off mobile devices. It's very convenient, but it also has a number of glaring opportunities for cyber criminals.
Sure. And what you see, as I talked about, it's very distributed there. And so as a business owner, I typically am not going to have maybe the awareness or the education to understand the layers of those threats, particularly when it's outside of my organization. And so the focus for us is typically around two things. One, it's around email, and it's around user education. If we can help users, they're the first and the best line of defense for any type of attack, help them understand and identify anomalies and things they shouldn't do. So around user education. And then email, I single out simply because that is overwhelmingly the most common entry point for, you know, ransomware and malware and that type of thing. Because we get inundated with so much of it, users become a little more lax and trust just about anything that comes into their inbox. So we try to put as much as we can in terms of a technology perspective in front of that. But you've still got to have aware users who are looking at those things. And, you know, of course, not clicking on this link or that link when you don't know where it's coming from. But to really evaluate an email in the context that it should be, which is, hey, this is an attempt to enter your environment. Generally, it's legitimate, but many times it's not.
Right. Some really good tips there, I think. I like in particular this focus that you've got about not worrying so much about the external threat, but really trying to make sure that your own processes, you know, that you're in control as much as possible. I think one of the mistakes a lot of organizations do make is worrying a little bit too much about the things they can't control rather than the things they can control. So I think a really good point you make there about focusing in on that. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, getting that small business perspective, which I think is really valuable. So thank you for sharing your insights, sharing some advice and some guidance there. So thank you very much indeed.
Absolutely.
Thanks to this week's guest, Mark Gibson. Next week, Steve will speak about security in the mergers and acquisitions process with Carl Allen, a private equity investor and co-founder of Prox Capital Group and the Dealmaker Wealth Society. Here's a preview of that conversation.
So clearly, when you're doing a deal, depending on how big or complex the deal is, ultimately, you would go through a process of due diligence. And ultimately, as the buyer, you need to satisfy yourself that what you're buying is what you think it is. So there's a ton of legal, financial, taxation, and other documentation that you need to have. And what amazes me, what blows my mind even these days, is how much of that stuff is shared through apps like Dropbox and Google Drive. It's crazy. And if you're a small business owner and you go to a business broker and you have the broker list your business for sale, you know, out of every 100 people that look at it, 90 or so of those businesses, you know, they're not interested in buying your company. They just want to get access to all the confidential information, because then they can potentially hurt you in the marketplace. So for me, we're way behind as an industry, the M&A industry, in terms of confidentiality and the security of information. It's a major, major problem.
We'll be back for the full conversation in a week. In the meantime, is there a topic or question that you'd like us to cover in a future episode? Let us know at securityforum.org, which is also where you can find that catalog of past video and podcast episodes, as well as ISF's research, practical tools, and guidance related to discussions like today's. Follow us on LinkedIn by searching CEO Steve Durbin or Security Forum. Follow our audio feed wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. And if you like the ISF podcast, we'd love it if you'd write us a short review and if you'd rate the podcast. The ISF podcast is produced by Talkbox and Tavia Gilbert, with music by Alexander Filipiak, associate producer Katie Flood, mix and master by Brian Barney. Thanks for listening.